What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Overstated NBA Show. We took a week or two off. I needed a little bit of break. I know Brett needed a little bit of a break. He did a little solo pod, but the NBA playoffs are upon us, and we are back, and we're ready to crank two or three pods out a week. And here we are, man. We got the OG, Brett and I. We're going to do a little bit of a quick one because our schedules are a little in flux, but I would expect probably next week it will be recorded on a Wednesday. It'll drop Thursday. I'll be kind of getting back into the State of the Union stuff, hearing from some of the other fans, getting everybody fired up because the playoffs start in about a month, and it's super exciting. And today we're going to talk about a team that we really haven't really talked about, I would say, in the last 2 to 3 years. It's been a lot of, a lot of shit dumping. I did a State of the Union pod with our buddy Ethan Lane to talk about this team. And Brett, let's bring you in here and let's talk about some Minnesota Timberwolves, man. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great, man. Yeah, definitely hyped to talk about some Timberwolves. Yeah, it is crazy, man. We're like, what, 8-10 games left in the season, like, depending on the team. I mean, we're right down there. Like, I think the Wolves, because I was just looking at their record and everything, I think they've got 9 games left. I'm like, damn, like, we are really down to the wire. So we're starting to get an idea of kind of what the playoff picture might look like, but there's still a lot that can change. It's really tight in a couple of spots, obviously, and the Timberwolves are actually sort of in one of those groupings. So yeah, they're a team that's been making a ton of noise lately, and you know, it looks like they could really continue to do so here if they keep this level of play up. So yeah, they're one of the more exciting stories of this NBA season, because it's like, they're never good. You know, like, this is just I was wondering, like, when you did that State of the Union with Ethan, like, when was that? Was that like December, or like, that was before they really hit their stride? Like, they had shown improvement. I think they were playing pretty good defense at that time, but they weren't like where they're at now.
So we recorded that pod. I believe we recorded it. It was around December, and his response, the funny thing with him was he was just hoping, again, this was kind of before the Dame Lillard stuff. This was December. He was hoping that the Timberwolves would be, you know, the 9th or the 10th seed, and they would be in the play-in. And it's kind of funny because we're recording this on a Tuesday. They are currently the 7th seed, but they're 42-31. They're 8-2 in their last 10. They've just been on a rampage. They're half a game back of Denver. You know, the Clippers are the AC, just to give everyone an idea. They're 36-37. So unless a catastrophic collapse happens here, I do not foresee Minnesota going any further than the 7th seed. And they just wanted to see, when I talked to Ethan, just continued improvement. You know, Cat, keep playing winning basketball. Not that he hasn't before, but I think yours and mine, our big criticism with him was, okay, he's clearly one of the top skilled big men in the NBA, right? He can put up a ton of stats. I know his family got hit hard with COVID. It was an interesting off the court couple of years for him. We all understood that, but I think, you know, the pressure was on him to finally deliver. And I think that's what Ethan and a bunch of other Minnesota Timberwolves fans wanted, was just continue to get better. You know, you had Anthony Edwards come in, just continue to develop, continue to get better. And I don't think anybody saw this coming. I mean, they are an absolute juggernaut. They've been that way since the All-Star break. I got a chance to see them play Milwaukee on Sunday, and
yeah,
they're granted Giannis didn't play, but yeah, man.
I mean, I knew you were gonna say that, but it's true.
I was gonna say that, but they're the real deal, man. And yeah, they're a tough team. I think I'd be, if I was in the East, I'd be, you know, because I'm, if they were in the East, I'd be a little bit more nervous. I think the West, maybe it all depends where the seeding goes. Maybe they can maybe steal a couple games and have a compelling first round series. Maybe they can even win a series. I think that would be fantastic. But man, I don't know how anybody can watch them and just go, yeah, man, they're just a cute little story. They've won 10 of their last 11. They might get the 6 seed. They're just a freaking tough team, man. What, when you're watching them, bro, what's going through your head? I mean, I don't think neither of us saw this coming at all.
No, not this. I think I took the over on their over under, but I mean, they're a lot better defensively, especially than I would have expected. And yeah, they've got the best record in the whole NBA since the All-Star break. They've actually won 18 of their last 24. So this has been going back quite a ways. Even if you go back to when Cat came back from his bout with COVID, he missed a couple weeks, I think late December, early January. And since then, even, they're like, I think 26-11. So they've been one of the better teams in the league for quite a long time here. So they're for real. And yeah, you mentioned they did beat the Bucks. albeit without Giannis. They beat Miami. They beat the Warriors recently. They beat the Grizzlies recently. So they almost beat the Mavs the other night. Really hard fought game. It's only their second winning season since 2005. They just clinched a winning season, and it's only their second one in the last, 16, 17 years, which is just really hard to believe. And yeah, they're in seventh, but they're only half game behind the Nuggets. And I think they're going to jump the Nuggets. I really do. I mean, I think they're a better team than the Nuggets right now. And if the Nuggets especially are trying to reintegrate MPJ, which sounds like it could be happening soon, and maybe Jamal Murray, like before the playoffs, like, they could actually, that could actually hurt them in the short term. It's obviously a good thing in the long term, but whereas Minnesota is looking kind of like a well-oiled machine right now, and I think they're going to finish the season strong. So they could actually jump out of the play-in, which would be crazy. And like you said, man, that's something that we didn't see coming. I think even the most optimistic of us said, play-in team at best. The defense is the big thing, like I said, and it's kind of the way they play defense. Like they're 12th in defensive rating. Okay, so like maybe not a top tier defense on the season as a whole, but that's pretty damn good, especially for the Wolves, because that's the, like, we knew they'd be a good offensive team, and they are. They're 6th in offensive rating, 1st in points per game, 2nd in pace, but it's the defense where it's like I thought they were going to be trash defensively, and they're significantly above average. They force more turnovers than any other team in the NBA. They force 16.4 turnovers per game. Obviously, that leads to a lot of transition buckets. They lead the league in points off turnovers with 19.8 per game. And it makes sense, though, when you look at their personnel. Like, obviously, Pat Beverly, like, we can talk more about him later, but just the tone that he sets is huge. And then you have these like defensive playmakers, where you've got Jared Vanderbilt and Jaden McDaniels. He's hurt now, out for a couple weeks, but those guys have been just monsters on defense in the passing lanes, just making plays and getting out and running. And then even, Anthony Edwards can make some plays. I think Towns is having his best defensive season in at least a few years, if not ever. They're just buying in. So that's kind of the difference. I think we saw this offense coming to some degree, because it's like, look at that squad. Like they're going to put up points when you have a trio of like Cat, D'Angelo Russell, and Anthony Edwards. Like that right there is some really potent scoring ability. But then you add this well above average defense to that, and you've got a very good basketball team in Chris Finch's first season as head coach. So it's one of those things, man. Like you said, like you can't watch this team and not love them. They've got a swagger, and man, it's just so good to see, because I know what this fan base has been through, man.
It is, and it's funny, they are currently, they're leading the NBA in scoring at 115.4 points per game, as you alluded to, and they've made 20 more threes. They lead the league in threes at 1,081. They're up about 20 on the Utah Jazz. And I think it's what you said, though, man. It's just having a competent defense. I think in some metrics, they're kind of between 10 or 12. And as long as they have that, then their offense is going to carry them. Now, we'll see what happens in the postseason. But one thing that I really wanted to touch on was Chris Finch. And I'm glad that you brought him up. I remember we were recording sometime last year, and it was very odd how the Timberwolves got Chris Finch as their head coach, if you remember. Mm-hmm. They fired Flip's kid, and they hired him midway through the season. You remember, because of COVID and everything, on February 22nd, he was actually introduced as the team's head coach. There wasn't really a search involved. Like they just basically took the guy from Nick Nurse's staff who had been there for the previous season. I was like, hey, come coach Minnesota. And I think we all kind of, myself included, we're all kind of like, what's going on? Not necessarily who is Chris Finch, but does he deserve this? Like it's kind of weird how they did. How they got him to the job in general. That's usually not how it's done, but I'm with you, man. And after watching them on Sunday, those guys buy in to his system and they're flying around the ball. I don't think we can overstate the addition of Patrick Beverly just being a defensive leader on that team. And one thing, I mean, I will toss this one to you, is Karl Anthony Towns. As I said at the top, we've all been kind of waiting for him to play. I don't want to use the word winning basketball, because I just don't think that's fair. I think he had a lot of terrible teammates around him. We've already talked about the off the court stuff with COVID and the terrible shit that he's been through. But hey, man, we know you can put up stats. We know you can score, but you're always on a 20-win team. Like eventually this has to turn into winning. And the thing that caught my eye was All-Star weekend, right? So after the three-point contest, he declares himself as the best big man shooter of all time, basically. And I think everyone, some people were like, yeah, some people were like, you know, whatever. But to me, I saw it as more of a confidence thing. Like, oh, shit. Like, okay. Like, this dude is – he's being serious right now. And I think that confidence for him is everything. And you see the way he defends. He's leading Minnesota in scoring at just about 25 a game. He's rebounding the ball. He's just – an all-around, I can't believe I'm saying this, a team leader, you know? And I'm very, very happy for him, and it's good to see his production is now matching up with winning, with Minnesota winning.
Yeah, I mean, Cat looks like a different player, even from earlier in this season where the Wolves weren't as good and he was struggling a little bit and Anthony Edwards was balling out. And I actually remember saying, like, Anthony Edwards is – Timberwolves' best player. Like, I asserted that with confidence, and I called him their leader too. And in a sense, I think he has some leadership qualities that Cat doesn't have. But the best player thing kind of feels like crazy talk now. I think Cat is definitely their best player. And I think you make a good point about the All-Star game. Like, first of all, that three-point contest was one of the most amazing shooting displays I've ever seen. And I hate that it kind of got overshadowed by like the negative talk about everyone just shitting on the dunk contest. Like that, like I swear to God, like people talking about how bad the dunk contest was, like really did overshadow like one of the greatest shooting performances ever in anything, in any context. And I was just blown away, man, just watching Cat shoot the ball that night. Like, it's not like I've never watched Cat shoot the ball before, but something about seeing him in that setting and just shooting it the way he was and just how effortlessly he gets it up. And I'm just like, man, this guy is just brilliant. So like that actually gave me like a whole new level of respect for him as a shooter. And then obviously since then, he has just been hooping. He's 10th in the NBA in estimated plus minus on the season. That's big time. If you look at some of the other names up there in that top 10, like he is truly an elite player by any measure right now. I think he absolutely deserves to be on an all NBA team. I'd probably put him second team.
Second team, man. He might, because the three bigs are going to make first team. I mean, we'll talk about that on a later pod, but Jokic, Embiid, and Giannis are all making first team all NBA.
If they do, then for me, he's an absolute lock for second team.
Yeah.
There's no question about that. But, you know, he's just there's a few things. Like, this is the most aggressive I've ever seen him offensively. He's always been a pretty aggressive offensive player, but now he's as aggressive as anybody. He's like Giannis level aggressive offensively. He drives the ball more than just about any other center. He's got a great rate of scoring on those drives. But yeah, just going to the rim, he's relentless. And he's cut down on the three-point attempts, which I like a lot, even though he is a great shooter. Not the greatest shooting big man of all time, but I'd say the greatest three-point shooting big man of all time. I think that's a fair way to characterize it. But he's down to 5 three-point attempts per game. That's down from 6.3 last season and 7.9 the season before, which, you know, as great of a shooter as he is, like, we don't want him shooting 8 three-pointers a game. Like, you got to balance it out with the drives. And as a result, he's getting to the free throw line a lot more. Career high 6.5 attempts per game this season. And then just his overall efficiency, shooting 53, 41, 83. That's just absurd for a 7-footer. So he's just, he looks reinvigorated. He looks more confident. Like, and man, that comes when you're winning games. Like, it all works together. Like, he's better defensively because this team plays better defense. Like, he's more inspired. He's more motivated. He's more aggressive because this team is better and playing more aggressive style of basketball. So it all works together. And he's having one hell of a season. Like, I don't know, man. I feel like I was kind of wrong about Cat in the past where it's just like, I don't know, man. I don't know if he's that guy. But man, the last couple months anyway, he's been as good as just about anybody. So
he's been phenomenal. And I do think though, a lot of that has to do with Anthony Edwards because Anthony Edwards is very confident. Let me rephrase it like that. I think Anthony Edwards has taken a lot of the pressure off Karl Anthony Towns in regards to just Anthony Edwards' confidence. You know, he is you can't help but smile when he is talking with the media or he gets asked a question. And he's just funny, man. I mean, I remember the Alex Rodriguez stuff when Alex Rodriguez was buying the team and some of the answers that Anthony Edwards has. Like, it's just phenomenal. And I think that they have a 1-2 punch. And then you go into D'Angelo Russell, who is kind of playing good basketball. You know, the offense isn't when Karl Anthony Towns or Anthony Edwards is on the bench, like the offense isn't falling apart with D'Angelo Russell out there. I just think like this team it fits, right? I think Patrick Beverly is really good. We talked about, you know, Malik Beasley is having a solid season. Jaden McDaniels is there. They're just a tough, you know, Jared Vanderbilt. They're just a tough squad, and I think that everybody knows their role on that team, and that cannot be overstated enough, right? When you have a team and everybody knows their roles, everybody knows what spots to get into, it just makes for good basketball, and it creates winning basketball. And you see that. As I said from the top, like, Minnesota is probably going to be the sixth seed. I mean, that is crazy from, what is it, Mark, from 3-4 months ago that, hey, man, Minnesota is going to be the sixth seed by a wide margin. It's not going to be a fluke. And they're a really, really good basketball team.
Yeah, man. You bring up a great point, too, I should say, about Anthony Edwards kind of inspiring that confidence in Kat and also taking some pressure off him with just how comfortable he is, you know, speaking for the team and like to the media, for instance. I think he's pushed Kat. He's challenged him, I mean, pretty openly. And I think Kat has responded well to it. I think it's the right balance. Like, I don't think Kat responded well to the Jimmy Butler brand of leadership trying to push him. But the way that Edwards does it, man, it works. And I think that's a great point that you bring up. And then, yeah, just going down their roster, man, they've got, everybody knows their role for sure. And they've got guys that can sort of play multiple roles, and they can sort of plug and play different guys in. Like, you know, if when Vanderbilt's been out, then Jaden McDaniels steps in as the starting power forward. When McDaniels is out, Vanderbilt's the starting power forward. He's kind of the default starter, but you can't go wrong with either one of those guys. And then they've started the two of them together at times when Beverly's been out, and D'Lo just slides down to point guard because obviously he can play that. Or they play Beverly and D'Lo, or if one of those guys is out and they want to go a little smaller, maybe they put Malik Beasley in the starting lineup and bring one of the power forwards off the bench. So there's all these different configurations that they can do based on matchup and availability. But their general bench, just between like Naz Reid and Jalen Noel, they've got a nice bench. And yeah, man, just to go back to the Beverly thing, like, he really, I think, has made a huge difference. Like, I really do think he's like the best thing that could have happened to this team. Like, nobody really put too much stock in his presence like prior to the season. It was just like, you know, okay, Beverly's on the Wolves now. But I mean, when you watch them play, like, Beverly is no joke, man. Like, it's kind of cliche to say, like, you know, to call someone a tone setter or whatever, but he really does set this tone defensively, and you can see it. Like, everybody else raises their game around him, and he just brings so much intensity, so much edge. Like, he brings exactly what this team has really always needed. Like, you cannot call this a soft team anymore. And Patrick Beverly is a huge part of that, man. Just all the shit talk and just doing Patrick Beverly things. Like, it's so cool, man. And it's definitely rubbed off on this team. Like, they do have an edge to them collectively. And I think that's a big part of what's kind of differentiated them this season from seasons past. And like, and then you brought up the new ownership. I guess it's like still kind of partial ownership. I don't know exactly how that's working, but it's a transition. But you have the new ownership coming in. You've got the new coach in Chris Finch, just took over last season, like you said. And then you've got a new general manager. I don't want to butcher his first name, so I'll just call him Mr. Gupta, but who replaced Gerson Rosas. So you've kind of got, you know, a lot of new faces in high places on this team. And so far it's fitting together nicely, man. Everything's coming together well for them.
It is. And it's funny, even when you go back and watch that Laker-Minnesota game, granted the Lakers aren't very good this year, but I mean, you know, Patrick Beverly's talking trash to Russell Westbrook. He's talking trash to LeBron James, and the crowd is feeding off of that. That Patrick Beverly acquisition, I think, was very, very big for them. And it's doing right. They now have an identity, and they have a guy that's going to go out there. You know, he might push it to the limit a little bit, you know, as far as what's dirty and what's not, but he's going to give 110%, and the crowd is going to be behind him, and his teammates are going to be behind him. And that's all that matters. And it's fun to see them. Like I said, it's just fun to see Minnesota back in the playoff hunt, in the playoffs, playing good basketball. We really haven't seen it in a very, very long time outside of the Tom Thibodeau, Jimmy Butler era. But let me ask you this, Brett. So I'm going to give you a rundown of the Western Conference. So you have Phoenix is basically, they got the one seed locked up. Memphis, Golden State, Utah, Dallas, Denver, Minnesota. So Utah is 45-27. Dallas is a game back, 44-28. Denver is 3 games back of Utah at 42-30, and Minnesota is 3.5 games back. They did just play Dallas last night on Monday night. They did lose by 2. It was a close game. Where do you see Minnesota finishing?
I would say 6th.
You think 6th?
Yeah, I think they jump the Nuggets. I think the Nuggets finish in 7th. And like you said earlier in the pod, like 7th is the absolute floor for the Timberwolves because they're 6 games up on the 8th place Clippers. So they're closer to like they're closer to the Warriors than they are to the Clippers in terms of standings. But I think I don't see them jumping Dallas. If anything, I could see Dallas maybe jumping Utah. They're playing so well. But I think that top 5 is going to remain pretty much the same. Maybe the Jazz could, or the Mavs even, one of those teams could jump the Warriors if the Warriors slide. But I think it's going to be the Timberwolves in 6th and the Nuggets in 7th. And so that would actually, what would that be? That would be like Warriors-Wolves, wouldn't it?
That's what I wanted to ask you. Yeah. How do you see? We're definitely getting ahead of ourselves, but for the purpose of, I think that Minnesota being a 6th seed, no matter what happens, is a home run. I think if they can win 2 to 3 games, that's amazing. And if they win a playoff series, that's like it's. I don't want to compare it to winning an NBA championship, but for as bad as that franchise has been, that's a big freaking deal, right? A huge deal. Like, what are your expectations for the playoffs? Because I bring this up because I think the last time we talked, I think we were talking about the Chicago Bulls, and you said like if they don't make it to the, you know, the Eastern Conference Finals, it's not a good season, and now it's looking like they might not even win a playoff series. But like, what is good for Minnesota, and what do you see happening in the playoffs with this team?
If they do stay in the play-in, I expect them to win the play-in series, but then that would put them up against, you know, probably Memphis, which is a matchup I don't like for them. But if they can jump Denver and they end up playing Golden State in the first round, I think that could be maybe a winnable series. Like, we don't know what's going on with Steph Curry, like if he's gonna be back a couple games before the playoffs or a couple games after the playoffs start. Like, they've just left it at he's going to be reevaluated, but he'll be coming back sometime around the start of the playoffs. But who knows, he could be a little rusty. They might not be at their best. Like, they haven't been great by any means, and I think the Warriors would have a real hard time with Cat. Like, you know, they struggle against size, and this guy's a 7-footer that is playing out of his mind right now and can really do everything offensively. So if I'm the Warriors, I don't really want to see the Timberwolves. I think there's a lot of teams the Warriors might struggle with, but the Timberwolves, that's a matchup I'd like to see for them. So look, man, I think they could win a series in the right matchup. Cause again, like we tend to just look at teams like on the whole, like the whole year. And we kind of remember in our minds that they weren't that great the first, you know, couple months of the season or whatever. But if you look at what they've been recently, like saying they could win a playoff series isn't far-fetched at all, man. Like you said, they've got the best record in the league since the All-Star break. So they've been playing as well as anybody. And the thing is, like, Anthony Edwards hasn't even been that good lately. He was rolling for a while there. But over his last 12 games, he's only averaging 15 points a game on 38% shooting. Like, so offensively, he's really been struggling, and they've been winning despite that. And then also the absence of Jaden McDaniels. Like, he was balling before he went down. In 20 games before his ankle injury, he was averaging 12 points a game on 53, 38, 84 shooting. So, and we all know about the defense, but like, even offensively, he was really playing the best basketball of his life. So you get Anthony Edwards back to the level he was at earlier in the season, even like, you know, 2 months ago, and you get Jaden McDaniels back fully healthy and everybody else, then this squad gets real scary. So like, I don't know. It'll depend on the matchup, of course, but I do think they can win a playoff series. I really wouldn't surprise me with how well they're playing.
All right, I have a bold prediction for you. I'm going Charles Barkley this year.
Uh-oh.
This is going to be on record. I'm going Charles Barkley on this. I think if the Minnesota Timberwolves play the Golden State Warriors in a playoff series, I think Minnesota is going to beat them.
I might agree with you, man.
Here's why.
Okay.
We have no idea how good Steph Curry is going to be when he comes back from injury. He's projected to come back when the playoffs start. We have no idea. I still think Klay Thompson is probably another offseason away from being kind of like Klay Thompson. We all know. Yeah. He can get hot. He got hot against Milwaukee. He can easily score. But it's the point that you just made, man. Golden State does not have a big guy that I think is capable of stopping Karl Anthony Towns. And it's going to be – I'm asking a lot here, but I just – I've been so impressed, and I'm loving the way that they've been playing. I just – I don't know, man. I don't know. The last time that they played, Karl Anthony Towns had 39 points. He was 3-for-6 from three and 9 rebounds, and they beat them 129 to 114.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm just saying, man, I can see – I think that's the only playoff series that I can see Minnesota winning is that series, just because you have Steph Curry, who's hurt, Draymond Green, who's just coming back from injury. He's got a bad back. You have Andrew Wiggins, who has completely disappeared. And you have Klay Thompson, who, as much as we love Klay, he's a Hall of Famer, as good as he is, you know, how is he going to be playing every other night in the playoffs, or every, you know, one game and then two games off? It's a grind, as you know. I mean, Jordan Poole might be, what, the second best player on that team when they go into the playoffs?
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's a very winnable matchup for them, and I don't see how Golden State is going to stop Karl Anthony Towns. James Wiseman, Brett, isn't coming back.
Like, yeah, I was just about to bring that up. It's like,
he's not going to play this year. And Carl Anthony Towns has dominated them this every time they played. You know, they played again. They played in – believe they played – hang on. Let me just double check here. Let me make sure. They played in January. Minnesota won again, 119-99. Carl Anthony Towns, 26 points, 11 rebounds.
Yeah. It's
you don't think D'Angelo Russell is going to have a little bit extra for that team? You don't think Anthony Edwards is going to go at Andrew Wiggins every single time? I don't know, man. You know, James Wiseman. I don't know how. Again, I'm not. A lot of this is due to injury. All right, I'm not downplaying. I think Golden State has been phenomenal. It's all due to injury, in my opinion, on why I'm predicting this. But I mean, they're banged up, man. It's not like they're going into the playoffs on a roll, 100% ready to go.
No, and even if they get everybody back, they just haven't played together, really. Like, and it sucks, man. Like, the way that this team has just completely fallen apart since Klay came back, and it's no fault of Klay's. Like, Klay's been fine. I think he's probably been better than anyone really expected him to be. So it's really not his fault at all. It's just the timing of it sucks. Like, Draymond basically got hurt, you know, right before Klay came back, and now Wiseman has this setback, and of course Curry is now out for at least a couple more weeks. The timing of it all just sucks, because, like, if, you know, if none of those guys ever get hurt and Klay's just been kind of slowly reintegrated, like, they're probably still the juggernaut that they looked like in the beginning of the season, because they looked like an all-time great team when they were, you know, fully healthy, even before Klay came back. But yeah, this isn't that team anymore. And I think I probably agree with you, man, certainly in terms of this being the most favorable matchup for Minnesota among the realistic matchups. Like, I don't think they beat Memphis. I don't think they beat Utah.
I just want to clarify this one more. I don't think they beat a Golden State team that's 100% either. Like, I want to make that clear, but you can't tell me, see, with Steph Curry being hurt, and Steph Curry, it's not like Steph Curry was playing amazing, I mean, at least on Steph Curry standards, before he got hurt. Draymond Green had just come back, and it's like you said, every time it feels like for Golden State, somebody comes back, another core piece gets injured. All year long it's been like that.
Yeah. No, I know, man. It's kind of a bummer, you know, for them, but they've become beatable, and that certainly opened things up in the Western Conference for a team like Minnesota to step in, and like, because if they win a playoff series, it's like, oh shit, like the all those negative narratives about Cat, if they're not dead already, will definitely be dead then. And like, this is just a different Cat, man. Like, I would never have probably bet on Cat in a playoff series of any kind up until this season, but this is a different guy. This is a more confident guy, a more aggressive guy, and I think he's going to be a problem. I think he could be the best player in that series, even if Steph is back. Like, he's been that good. And yeah, man, what are they going to do with Kat? Like, maybe in years past, like, you could get in his head, like Draymond could get in his head a little bit, like fuck with him, like kind of take him out of the series mentally, just hurt his confidence in some way, but I don't think he's susceptible to that kind of stuff the way he might have been, you know, even last season or the season before. Like, he's matured, man. And yeah, I think I'm kind of with you on that, man. Like, I'd probably pick them. We'll just see. We'll see what Golden State looks like, and I'll make a prediction when that day comes. But I definitely do think that's the team you want to see if you're Minnesota. And if you're Golden State, man, I don't think you want to see the Wolves. I think you'd rather see a couple other teams that you could realistically face that. Before you see, you know, aggressive, motivated Cat. So, Yeah, man. I can't believe we're talking about the Timberwolves in this conversation. I just think that is the coolest thing, man.
I did too, man, because I never would have believed it. Like I said, we've been shitting on them, and rightfully so. It's not like they didn't deserve it. They deserved it. Since we started this podcast, Ethan, as I said at the top, was just hoping to get a 10th seed, and they're really good, man. Like they are a fun, good squad, and I think a successful season is just making the playoffs. I really do, and I don't think there's any shame in – now, granted – They have to beat the Clippers in the play-in game. Let's not get too far ahead of ourselves, but they're a good, good team, and I'm hoping that they can build on this, right? Like, hey, no matter what happens, build on what you have, build on this foundation. Cat continues to get better. Anthony Edwards makes that second to third year leap. Keep getting better. And I think I like the coaching staff. I like the squad. As you said, they got new owners. They're not gonna get relocated. They're not going to Seattle. They're not going to Vegas. It sounds like they're going to be in Minnesota to stay. I think it's coming up all good things Minnesota for the Timberwolves.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And just to bring up something you touched on there that I think is really important, like this is going to be an interesting race these last nine or so games between Denver and Minnesota, with just a half game separating them as of Tuesday night when we're recording, because you don't really want to see the Clippers in a play-in series. Like, the Clippers are a scary team. That they could beat either one of those teams. So I think you really want that sixth seed. It's not like you're just getting some cakewalk in the play-in. Like, you're playing a pretty scary Clippers team. That's even without Kawhi and PG, that's proven they can beat anybody on any given night. So that's going to be a really fun battle to keep an eye on between those division rivals, Denver and Minnesota, here these last couple weeks of the season.
And it's fun too, man. Who do you got coming out of the West? We're going to talk about this at a later pod, but are you going with Phoenix so far?
Yeah.
I mean, they've been lights out without Chris Paul, man. Devin Booker has taken his game to yet another level.
I just can't pick against them. I wouldn't rule out Memphis and Dallas. Those are the other two teams that
I think it's too soon for them.
Dallas, man, like, they just figure it out. I don't know. We should probably do a whole pod on them one of these days too, because they've been another one of the better teams in the league, in recent weeks and months. But I like that Dallas team a lot. They'd probably be my second favorite team in the West behind Phoenix right now, and then Memphis. But just Dallas, because you've got, I mean, Luka's arguably a top three NBA player. There's no doubt about that. He could be the best player in any series. Like, he could just carry that team through the playoffs. They're playing really well. That would be the other one. But I right now, I can't bet against Phoenix coming out of the West. But, you know, that could always change. We'll see how the next couple weeks go. But I do like Dallas. I really do. And as far as Minnesota, man, just getting into the playoffs, like, if they could either win their play-in series or get the sixth seed, that's huge. They win a series, that's fucking monumental, considering where they've been. And then the future's just bright from there, bro.
I like it. Well, hey, man, you got to get out of here. We're going to do another one next week. We're going to go a little bit longer. Dude, you know it's always awesome rapping with you. For myself and Brett, this is us. We will see you guys next week. Peace.